What's going on? What's going on? What's going on, Successers? Y'all, welcome to another episode of Speak Your Success in the Morning. Today is Thursday, February 5th, 2026. I'm so glad that you all could be here with us, rocking and rolling and holding on strong. Happy Black History Month. Happy, happy, happy Black History Month. All right. So, y'all, today we got a great show lined up for you on Thursday. And, man, I'm excited this morning because I felt a little tired, but usually the days and the times that I wake up and I feel tired, then those are some of the best days that I have. Either it be one of the best shows that we have, or I don't know, something just good happens. It's just like Will Smith said, everything you want is on the other side of fear. Everything that you want is on the other side of fear. So I'm going to say today that everything that I want is on the other side of exhaustion. All right. So, y'all, without further ado, man, like I said, welcome to Speak Your Success in the Morning. I'm your host, Jonathan Jones. And y'all, here at Speak Your Success, what we always want to give you, we want to give you a little bit of education, a little bit of entertainment. And then lastly, we got to give you some empowerment. So we got a lot to talk about today. We got to update you on the trade deadlines with the NBA and outside of that. Then we also got your Black History quote of the day. And also we have a historical Black History figure that we want to introduce you to if you're not familiar. But yeah, we got a great show. But before we get into all that, like we always kick it off, we talk about what did we have for dinner last night. And for me, last night I was at church. I was working, you know, doing the gig. And last night I had the opportunity to have some drumettes, some chicken drumettes. And then even double down and had some nachos. Okay. And you know, like you can go old school and just do the concession stand nachos where you just do the chips and you just do the cheese. Let me know what y'all put on y'all nachos in the comments. But last night we had the chips, we had the cheese. And me personally, I had to get the sour cream, a little bit of onion, a little bit of cilantro, some black beans, and some rice. Right? The rice was there. We put rice on tacos. I said I want to be a little bit more filling, so let me go ahead and let me just get the whole shebang-a-bang. All right, so hooked it up with the black beans, with the rice, with the onions, all that. And then, bow, hit that last little plop of sour cream on there. Then we was ready to rock, okay? Ready to rock. So that's what we had for dinner last night over here. Drop in the comments what you had for dinner last night. I would love to know, right? I'm always looking for different dishes, different meals, different ideas that we can incorporate either here at the house so that I can cook for my wife and my two boys, or, you know, just so I can have something different to try on the go. Because, y'all, I wasn't even going to talk about this. But one thing that I have noticed is that coming up with different meal ideas can sometimes be a little bit challenging, right? Because sometimes, you know, after you really look at the core proteins, your beef, your lamb, your chicken, you're like, okay, well, what else can we do? Yeah, like for lunch yesterday, you know, I had some ramen. My wife did the shrimp, and then we also did like the beef shoulder, to where, you know, the same type of meat that's put in the Philly cheesesteak. But y'all, there's only so many options, right? So like I said before, drop in the comments. I would love to hear from you all. What are y'all eating for dinner? Right? Because I need to know some new ideas. I need to know something different. All right. So now, without further ado, we're going to go ahead and get ready to roll right into Straight from the Source. All right. Rolling right into Straight from the Source. And today we're going to be in Isaiah chapter 40, verses 28 through 31. We're going to walk down through the text today. So, hey. There we go. Okay, so y'all, here today in the text, like I said, Isaiah, we're in the book of Isaiah chapter 40, verses 28 through 31. We're going to walk down through the text. So verse 28 says, the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, does not become weary or tired. His understanding is unsearchable. Come on, somebody. So look, y'all, this is the foundation right here. Understanding that before God even talks about what he gives, he reminds you who he is, right? Everlasting, he doesn't run out of time. Creator, he doesn't run out of power. Never weary, he doesn't run out of energy like you and I. Because at the end of the day, if we lined up our energy with God's energy, y'all know we'd run out by Tuesday. we're running by Tuesday afternoon while he's still running through Saturday, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. So the contrast ultimately is we're limited, but God isn't. So in those situations where we're trying to do a little bit too much, we're trying to go a little bit further, we have to remember that we're limited when God isn't. Okay, so we got to stop trying to be God in some of these situations and through some of our day-to-day. But then verse 29 says, okay, this is talking about what God does in his generosity. It says, he gives strength to the weary, and to the one who lacks might, he increases power. Okay, so we got to notice something that's subtle here. It says, he doesn't give strength to the strong. He gives it to the weary. Okay, so when we're talking about being strong, when we're talking about, this could be being proud. This could be somebody who lacks humility, right? That's what strong could look like in this sense. But at the end of the day, right, the translation is you don't have to fake strength to qualify for God's help, right? Because if you're tired, you're eligible. If you're drained, you're qualified. And if you're overwhelmed, then you're a perfect candidate. And even though society will tell us the complete opposite, society will push grind culture. Society will push don't sleep. Society will push you can do it on your own, be self-made. But God isn't looking for impressive people. He's looking for dependent people. Come on, somebody. Let me know if you're feeling me in the chat right now. Because y'all here, we're gonna keep going. But y'all, it's so easy to say I don't need help. It's so easy to try to push people off. But then when it's that late night hour, and we're trying to complete a task last minute, and we knew that we needed help, we had people that offered, but we pushed them off because we wanted to do it by ourselves, because we wanted all the credit. I'm talking to myself, but I know y'all hear me. I'm letting y'all in the conversation in my head. We have to ask for help. We have to humble ourselves. We have to say, God, I am tired. This has been a week. Jesus, give me strength to make sure that I make it through the end of this week. Anybody feel me? I know I'm not the only one. Okay, so look, then verse 30. Like I said, we're going to walk through the text. Verse 30 says, it talks about human limits being normal, okay? And it says, though youth grow weary and tired, and vigorous young men stumble badly. We need to know that even young, even athletic, even energetic, even those in their prime, we'll still crash out. There's still a point in time we only have so much energy because we're finite human beings and God designed us that way on purpose. So if we all burn out, knowing that we're humans, knowing that if the strongest of the strongest burn out, if the smartest of the smartest burn out, what do we need to know? We need to know that this verse kills the lie that if I were stronger, smarter, younger, I wouldn't feel tired. No, that's not it. That's not it. Because fatigue is human, but fatigue is also not failure. So what I need us to know, we need to know right here, the promise, verse 31, this is the promise. Yet those who wait on the Lord gain new strength. One more time for my people in the back. Those who wait on the Lord gain new strength. Here's the key word: wait. We gotta wait. We gotta slow down. We gotta stop sometimes. And y'all, I know this goes completely against the idea of culture today, because culture says push harder. Culture says go through the pain. It says I don't care if you're depressed. I don't care what challenge you're facing. You just need to push and keep going. But the word of God right here is saying no. It's saying wait, right? And this doesn't ultimately mean just sit around. This doesn't mean do nothing. This doesn't mean rub the lamp like Aladdin and have a wish. It means trust. It means depend. It means stay connected. It means exchange your strength for his. Y'all, this is what I like to call working while waiting, right? It might not be active work, but it can be mental work. It can be spiritual work. It can be you taking time and getting postured to pray. It can be you quieting all your thoughts and taking them captive and just saying, Lord, I need you. You finding a corner at work just to say, God, help me. Lord, I can't do it by myself. I'm submitting to you, right? Because at the end of the day, this isn't passive. This is active. And this is beautiful. And it's progressive, right? So mounting up with wings like eagles. So what does that look like? God lifts you above your situation. That's a supernatural perspective right there. Sometimes he doesn't fix you in the midst of the storm, but he'll lift you above it. Running, not getting tired. God's giving you strength. He's giving you speed. He's giving you momentum. And he's putting you through seasons of productivity. Why? Because God is the only one who can redeem time. So this is grind mode with grace. So you're moving fast, but you're not burning out, right? And you're walking and not becoming weary. Why? Because God is sustaining you for the long haul. He's providing daily faithfulness. Life isn't about you flying or running. It's mostly about you walking. And God's promise is endurance for the ordinary days, for the days that feel heavy, for the days that feel tiring. Because the big picture is this right here. Isaiah is saying, stop relying on your own strength, but borrow mine. Because once again, your strength, my strength, our strength will burn out. But God will renew your strength. He'll redeem time. And ultimately, he will put you in a space, in a place to where after he comes through like he always does, then he'll be able to give you a testimony that you can share with somebody. And I've heard people say it time and time again, but you can't have a testimony until you've been through a test. Do we like going through tests? Typically, no. But if you're prepared for the test, if you're prepared for the trial, if you have an eternal mindset, an eternal perspective, then you'll know that what I'm going through on this earth, this won't last long. This won't last forever. And by me understanding that, what does that mean? That means I should go ahead and just give God praise today. Y'all, that's been straight from the source this morning. I feel a little fired up this morning. I feel a little fiery right now. If y'all feeling me right now, if you're rocking with me right now, let me know down in the chat box. Family, because straight from the source is all about giving you that weekly dose of encouragement, right? Because so often we might get a message on Sunday or we might get a message scrolling down on YouTube, but we need to have something to get through the week on a daily basis. And that's why we dove in today to the book of Isaiah. Like I said, that was Isaiah chapter 40, verses 28 through 31. Okay. Wanted to make sure to give y'all that because that really encouraged me today. And now I hope it encourages you as well. All right. Hope it encourages you as well. Now we're going to go ahead and get ready to transition. And y'all, I want to talk a little bit about some of these trades in sports. Man. Okay. I don't know if you're an NBA fan. I used to be a real big NBA fan, but then I started seeing these trades. And I'm like, what in the world is happening right now? So many trades. All these people is going here. They're going there. They're going everywhere. I got a funny picture that I want to actually share with y'all because I'm seeing the picture. I'm like, oh, man, if this was the case, then this would be extremely, extremely unfortunate. So what is the, because y'all, when I tell you with these trades and these trade deadlines, I know people sitting there like, no, but I just got my favorite player's favorite jersey. I just got my favorite player's jersey. And now I'm sitting here looking like this. I'm sitting here looking like this right here. Right? Looking like Fresh Prince on the last episode. Look at, they got Klay Thompson looking there like, what? Why is Klay Thompson looking like that? Well, Klay Thompson's looking like that because Anthony Davis just got traded, y'all. Anthony Davis just got traded from the Dallas Mavericks, okay? This is happening in real time, okay? This is happening in real time. But I'll get to the Anthony Davis trade just in a second. But, y'all, look. Okay, so we'll roll from the top. We'll roll from the top. Okay, so I talked about it a little bit yesterday, but James Harden to the Cavs. So James Harden goes to the Cleveland Cavaliers for who? For ultimately Darius Garland and a 2026 second round pick. Okay. Then next up, we have Jaren Jackson Jr. He's headed to the Jazz. So he's going from Memphis to now he's going to Utah. Utah is going to receive Jaren Jackson Jr. They're also going to receive Jock Landale, John Kohar, Vince Williams Jr. And the Memphis Grizzlies are going to receive Walter Clayton Jr., Kyle Anderson, Taylor Hendricks, George Nang, and three first-round picks. Man, that's a blockbuster trade right there. Then also, we got the Bulls and the Pistons and the T-Wolves, a three-team trade. Man, oh, man. I hope some of these guys didn't purchase their house or they have their luggage ready to rock and roll. The Detroit Pistons are going to receive Kevin Huerter. They're going to receive Dario Saric and also a 2026 first-round protected pick swap. Chicago Bulls are going to receive Mike Conley Jr. No, Mike Conley Jr. to the Bulls? What? Mike Conley Jr. and Jaden Ivey and the Timberwolves are going to receive cash considerations. All right. Then we got Tyus Jones to the Hornets. Okay, so Tyus Jones plus 2 second-round picks. And then we got this Orlando Magic. They're going to receive cash considerations. Okay. Now, here are some secondary moves that took place. So, Lonzo Ball plus cash considerations is going to Utah Jazz, and they're expected to waive Ball, they say. Okay. And the Cleveland Cavs are going to receive 2 second-round picks, and then also Jared McCain. If you're a fan of Duke Blue Devil basketball, then you're familiar with Jared McCain, right? Jared McCain is headed to the Thunder. So Oklahoma City is going to receive him. Man, they're gearing up. They're getting young and they're staying sharp. But they're going to get him. And the 76ers are going to receive a 2026 first-round pick plus 3 second-round picks. Man, okay, Jared McCain. Okay, we see you. I know you came into the league. You was averaging like what? Like almost about 15 points a game. So, hey, okay. Okay, Jared McCain, get healthy, man, and come back. Ball out. Then we got the Bulls and the Hornets with the guard swap. So, yeah, we talked about Mike Conley. So, Mike Conley is going to the Charlotte Hornets. Then Kobe White as well. And then a 2029 second-round pick. The Chicago Bulls are going to receive Colin Sexton. Oh, wow. Ousmane Dieng plus 3 second-round picks. And then lastly, the NBA trade. We got Chris Paul to the Raptors. And Brooklyn Nets are going to receive Ochaia Agbayi plus a 2032 second-round pick. The Clippers are going to receive draft rights to Vanna Miricic. And Toronto is going to receive Chris Paul. And then let me pull up the Anthony Davis trade details. Because Anthony Davis, I was surprised when I saw this. I was really surprised. I was like, wait, what is going on? Like, Anthony Davis, like, he just getting bounced around at this point. And I'm like, why are they rebuilding? Or, like what's happening? But anyway, the Mavs are going to send Davis and guards Jaden Hardy and D'Angelo Russell and Dante Exum to the Wizards for Chris Middleton, A.J. Johnson, Malachi Branham, and Marvin Bagley III with 2 first-round draft picks and 3 second-rounders, sources say. Man, that is serious. Okay, that is serious. That's a blockbuster. Because we all know that, you know, Anthony Davis, 10-time NBA All-Star. We know he did his thing down when he was at the University of Kentucky. But, man, y'all, that's going to catch us up right there on all the trades. So some of our players are sitting there looking like Klay Thompson, like, what? Like, where's my boy AD? Kyrie, what's going on? So, family, that's going to wrap up our trades right there. But what I want to get into now is we have a few things that I want to highlight. With it being Black History Month and everything like that, I want to highlight this quote here. And as we get into the quote, then I got a historical figure for the day. But the quote that I have for us today is right here, okay, by Miss Alice Walker. It said, the most common way people give up their power is by thinking that they don't have any. All right? Family, you, Black man, you have power. You, Black woman, you have power. You must know that. You must understand it. and you must hold it near and dear to your heart. Because the moment that you begin to shift and say, I don't think I have any power, or what is my power? What is my value? Then that's the moment that is lost. But you have power. You have a voice. Take up space. Be big wherever you are. And never minimize yourself for the sake of making others feel comfortable, confident, or even better. So remember that. Alice Walker is telling us that we have power. So always think that, always know that, and operate forward with that. And now, without further ado, I want to go ahead and introduce our Black historical figure of the day. I'm going to go ahead and roll the clip. All right. So here we go on our Black historical figure, Mr. George Crumb.
Crumb Speck was born on July 15, 1824. Speck was hired at Moon's Lake House in Saratoga Springs, a high-end restaurant that catered to wealthy Manhattan customers. This is where he took on the nickname of Crumb. One of the wealthy customers came in one day and ordered a basket of French fries and repeatedly sent the fries back for Chef Crumb to try again. His main complaint was that they were too thick. Chef Crumb grew more and more frustrated at the customer's demands. And to seek revenge, he would slice the potatoes thinner and thinner with each delivery. He cut the potatoes paper thin, fried them to a crisp, and seasoned them with lots of salt. But to his surprise, the customer loved them. Crumb and Moon's Lake House became well known for their special fries, or what they nicknamed the Saratoga chips. Eventually, Crumb opened his own restaurant and provided every table with a complimentary basket of chips. Crumb's chips remained a local delicacy until the 1920s, when a salesman and entrepreneur named Herman Lay introduced and produced potato chips on a massive national scale. George Crumb Speck was born.
All right, man. Shout out to George Crumb Speck. Shout out to him. Shout out to him. And I also want to just spotlight and say thanks to my sister Saran Sanchez, because she introduced me to George Crumb Speck. So that was dope, though, just to hear about that, hear about potato chips, because we love potato chips. And I don't know what your brand is. I don't know what your flavor is, but I'm sure you appreciate them as well. So, hey, take that, share that with a friend about Mr. George Crumb Speck on potato chips. Okay, that's good. That's good. But now what I want to transition into, I want to transition to the topic of today. And one of the focuses that producer Britt and myself have continued to not only ask each other, but also ask you, like, what is it that we care about as Black people, as Black and brown people, as African-Americans, as being Black in America? What is it that we care about? And I found this clip and I said, I think this clip would be great to create a conversation around what we care about as Black people. So I'm going to go ahead and roll this clip and then we can go ahead and get into it, because I think there's really something that we can get into. And this clip is by, well, the individual who's speaking is Mr. Nuri Muhammad, and this is a clip from the Big Facts podcast. So shout out to them. So here we go. We're going to go ahead and roll it.
What do you think the current message to the black man is in the current state that we are in society right now, in America particularly?
The Honorable Elijah Muhammad made this revolutionary observation. He said that 95% of our problems could be solved if we would just unite. And if you look in every generation, I don't care what generation you go to, whoever grew up in the 80s, the 90s, 70s, 50s, every time you meet anybody, they say, all we got to do is unite, come together. And that's been the universal code, which really is the solution. Our problem, though, is that we have a misunderstood word. So we say unity, but we're thinking uniformity. We're thinking everybody got to do the same thing in the same way, the same place at the same time, worship in the same spot, dress the same way.
You're saying we all got to be the same, but we can do the same. We can work for the same direction.
That's the way the body was created. So if you study the way the anatomy of the human body is, you have all these different organs that do different things at different places at a different time, but for one common cause, the survival of.
He's talking good. He's talking real good right now. What he's saying makes a lot of sense, but let's keep listening.
Organism. The kidneys don't look like the lungs, the lungs don't do what the heart does, the heart doesn't do what the brain, the brain doesn't do what the spleen. All of them do different things at different places at a different time, but for one common cause. That's what unity looks like. So I wonder what would happen if our organizations start working like that.
Organizations.
Doing what you so take your mission statement, NAACP Urban League. Take your mission statement, sorority, fraternity. Take your mission statement, whatever lodge you go. Whatever that mission statement is, fulfill your function as that organ.
Yeah.
And let's do what we do for the survival of this one black organism.
Whoa. That's a lot. That's a mouthful right there that he said. So unity versus uniformity. Unity versus uniformity. We don't all have to look alike. We don't all have to do the same thing. But what would happen if we all came together? And it's interesting because this is actually, I actually read this in the Bible before. Because it talks about the body, but it's describing the body as the church. And it says that we're all one body composed of many different parts, right? The hand, the feet, different things like that. So, wow. What would it really take for this to get spun in motion, right? Because the thought that I immediately have is just thinking about how we have been challenged or pushed as a culture to typically... You know, we have the mindset to want to be top dog, right? Because we're all taught, because he was talking about survival in the clip, and that's what we push for, right? Everybody wants to be the leader, be the CEO. And I mean, I understand that. I understand that mindset. But at the same time, now where I have gotten in my business, and now even where I've gotten with this show and different projects that I've been on, I've gotten a little bit older, and I would pray that I've gotten wiser, but it's come to the realization that, well, John, maybe, you know, maybe we can collaborate with other people. Maybe we can collaborate with other businesses. Maybe your business is doing something similar to this other business over here. What would happen if we came together? What would it look like if we partnered up and then now we not only could serve more people, but at the same time, we could also cut down on the use of some resources, right? Because maybe we might share space. Maybe we might share contacts. So now where, you know, X amount of dollars are getting spent towards marketing or towards putting on events, now the cost that one was incurring, now we can split that cost into two, three, four different people. Maybe that could really shift some things. And now maybe we can begin to really recycle not only just the black dollar, but we can recycle black energy. We can recycle black connections. And then collaboration would truly be victorious. What would that look like? That's the question for today, right? That's the question for today. What can you do in your immediate community to begin to create unity? What would you do? We heard Brother Nuri Muhammad talk about, you know, the NAACP and the Urban League identifying their mission statement and then seeing how there can be collaboration through ultimately walking out, operating in that mission statement, but serving in that main function of that mission statement. There was so much there. So shout out to Big Facts Podcast. Shout out to Brother Nuri Muhammad for sharing that wisdom. But y'all, the choice is really on us. And because as of late with, you know, over 300,000 plus black women being unemployed at this point in time, now is a time for collaboration like never before. And not even just to you know, just pointing the finger at them, but I'm just saying that if they're educated and they're talented and these black women still are without work, it's time for us to do something. Because there's other populations and other people who are also unemployed right now. And it's not necessarily they're unemployed because they can't work or they don't have experience. But y'all, it's hard to find a job now. And then for somebody to just up and create a business, that's even harder. So today, I want you to reflect and I want you to think, What does unity look like in your immediate community? Family, that's going to wrap us up here today on Speak Your Success in the Morning. We got to talk a little bit about the trade deadline. We got to talk about Mr. George Crumb Speck, who is our historical black figure for today, showing us how we can enjoy them Lay's potato chips, how we can enjoy those hot fries, how we can enjoy some of our favorite chips during the Super Bowl. Why? Because he created them. Shout out to him. And then also Ms. Alice Walker letting us know you have a voice, so don't be afraid to use it. Family, make sure you stay tapped in with us. We'll be right back here tomorrow, 6 a.m. Central Standard Time. Speak Your Success in the Morning. Make sure you subscribe on YouTube, Speak Your Success Media. And if you would like to enjoy the audio experience, all you need to do is type in Speak Your Success in the Morning on wherever you stream your podcast, and you can find us there. Until next time, family, remember, 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 all right? Speak your success, believe in your greatness, and continue to create the life and business of your dreams. Why would you and why should you live any other way?